Facebook, Google, all of these companies are trying to figure out where are the rules and where are they going to draw the line.
There's clearly a demand for renters. They've got most of them full.
If you own a bond in your retirement portfolio, the price of that is going to go down.
This is the Wintrust Business Lunch, sponsored by Wintrust, Chicago's bank, and 720 WGA.
And welcome to Thursday afternoon, everyone. Steve Bertrand here in the Wintrust Business Lunch. Thanks very much for tuning in. I appreciate that. So a lot of high school graduating seniors, right? They're starting their freshman year at college. Maybe this is their first week or classes start next week. What jobs will pay off for them? CareerBuilder did a study. It's all about software developers, physical therapists, and physician's assistants. Those are the fastest growing, highest paying jobs these days. We will talk a little bit later with Quentin Fortrell. He's the moneyist at MarketWatch.com about those numbers. New York Times headline here, vaping sickness rises, 153 cases reported now in 16 states. To help us understand what's going on with that and the world of tech, on the phone line now is Connie Guglielmo, who is the editor-in-chief at CNET. Connie, welcome to the Business Lunch.
Thank you very much for having me on.
I just should start by saying I talk to your charges just about every week, Ian Schur and others, Roger Cheng, and you've got a fine crowd there.
Thank you. We're very happy with our team.
As well you should be. Okay, so the vaping, right, is this the new thing, Juul's being sued by Lake County here in Illinois and others about their marketing. But now there are these illnesses that are getting a lot of attention. Now, 153 around the country, I don't know how significant that is, but what is it that the FDA is looking at here?
So they're looking at the link between vaping and seizures. And I should say, it's very inconclusive. Yes, there have been the cases that you mentioned, but if you look out over the course of how many people right. are vaping and smoking, it is a tiny, tiny number. Nonetheless, they are looking at the connection between vaping and seizures because basically nicotine poisoning, one of the effects of that is seizures. And so it's raised concerns.
And so with e-cigarettes, they can up the amount of nicotine you get? I mean, do you get more nicotine if you're vaping than just smoking a cigarette?
Yeah. So what we have reported and many others is that in a Juul, for instance, it's the equivalent of a pack of cigarettes.
And
so
you mean if you spend the time as if you were smoking one cigarette, you're getting a pack of cigarettes of nicotine?
Yes.
Wow. I did not know that.
What you need to understand about vaping, let's say, is that why are you vaping? If you're vaping because you want an alternative to smoking cigarettes, then you should re-examine the logic behind that move, because as I just said, there is a lot of nicotine in Juul pods. They literally contain as much nicotine as a pack of cigarettes.
Doesn't Juul sort of market itself as a way to get away from smoking? But I guess when they do that, I'm playing the commercials in my head now. It's about the dirtiness of the habit, the smell of the smoke, the staining, and all of that.
Right. So it's marketing is what's at issue here, correct, as you pointed out earlier in your conversation. So it's a matter of understanding what is going on. And the seizures that have been reported is just another pointer that everybody take a moment and let's right. take a look. Why are you vaping? As I say, if you're using it or if you're turning to vaping because you think it's cool, because there's an image thing, well, then that carries risks with it, and you should be aware that there's risks to vaping just as there is to cigarette smoke. And if you're using it as a way to try to, you know, wean yourself from cigarettes, you need to re-examine your logic.
And again, just to not to make too much of it, the fact that 153 is the latest count I've seen out of all of the people vaping, there may or may not be a connection, but they're looking at it. That's sort
right.
of the way we pay attention to story. It reminds me of a story that was in the Tribune yesterday. They had a huge story about the amount of radio frequency radiation that is released from cell phones, particularly older cell phones. And they found that in many cases, the amount of radiation being emitted from the cell phones was higher than what the FCC allows. What should we make of that story?
Well, you should make of it the same thing that we just made of the vaping story, there are signals that we need to pay attention to. You're right. The FDA has said in the case of the vaping is that we don't know. And so there's a word of caution here. So let's stop. Let's take a look. Let's find the link. Everybody pay attention, do some research, understand what you're doing.
I'm reading the story that Jackson Ryan wrote it, the story for you, and he points out that even the Tribune said that the way they did the study was sort of a worst-case scenario, right? So they got the worst results that they might possibly get.
So what I want to say about this, Chicago Tribune did these tests on the amount of radio frequency being put out by your phone. What does that mean, right? There's a signal, there's an antenna in your phone. It puts out radio frequency, as anybody knows, because if you're ever on a plane and they tell you to turn off your phone, it's because they don't want your phone to interfere with the communications in the cockpit. So there's a level that the FCC has set that they deem safe. The Chicago Tribune did some studies and did some tests with older iPhones and Samsung devices, which are two of the most popular brands of smartphones in the world. And they found on some of these older devices a higher specific absorption rate. That's the technical term. And you can read our story if you want to really get into the nitty-gritty. But they found a higher specific absorption rate than the FCC sets for these devices. And there's a lot of caveats, as you pointed out. The Chicago Tribune study, it was not perfect. They admit they didn't test it, you know, exactly right, sure. And there were some exceptions. But nonetheless, what it's done is got the attention of the FCC.
And so
to go take a look at all of this.
In your story as well, though, even if you look at the FCC limit, is it that it would have to be 50 times higher than the limit to actually cause damage anyway? So the FCC limit is pretty low when it comes to concern about illness.
Yes, and this is a good thing that journalists do is raise awareness and bring up these issues. Let's look at it. What is the limit? What is the standard? Is it reasonable? You know, 10 years ago, how much time were you using a smartphone, right? How much time are you on a smartphone today? So there needs to be a look and reassessment or evaluation of some of these standards and limits. We're about to go to a new technology, hopefully, in the next year, which is 5G, which will bring even faster speeds, and there's more, you know, signal in that because it's an even faster. So it's a time to examine some of these standards and some of the things going on. FCC, by the way, did not raise the limit. They put out a note for a 5G, which is rolling out across the globe right now. These are the highest speed networks, the next generation of wireless networking technology. So they haven't reset the levels over that. But they did, after the Tribune's investigation, which tested 11 different models, they're going to take a look at things and do some follow-up there.
And as my friend John Williams says, this is a good day to subscribe to a newspaper because good things come out of journalism, and this is certainly one of them. You know, Connie, I would like to see, because I would posit that we actually are spending less time with our phones to our ears than we did 2 or 3 years ago. I mean, I think now everything's Bluetooth, so those phones are away from our faces now anyway.
Well, but Bluetooth is carrying a signal to your ears.
Okay, it's not a perfect theory.
I would posit that we are spending less time using our smartphones to make phone calls,
right.
And we're using them for other things like texting or watching videos or reading stories or, you know, posting on social media, taking photos. Nonetheless, these are devices that basically have become the remote control for your life, right? Everyone has a smartphone. A lot of people, most of the world has smartphones. They're taking the place of your, if they haven't already, digital cameras. They're taking the place for many people, increasingly, of your wallet. Now your phone is becoming your wallet in many instances. So these are very important devices that people are relying on more and more. You're tracking who's coming to your front door if you have a connected doorbell. You've got cameras inside your house to watch how your family is doing while you're not there. So these are very important devices that have become central to our lives, which is why I call them the remote control to your life.
Go ahead.
And I was just saying, understanding what effect they might have on your health is a valid thing for you to know and understand and be aware of.
Connie Guglielmo is the editor-in-chief at CNET.com. Connie, it was great to talk to you. I think it's the first time we've spoken, so I look forward to doing it again.
Absolutely.
You're listening to the Wintrust Business Lunch here on 720 WGN, sponsored by Wintrust, Chicago's bank. and we thank them for that. After the headlines today, we will talk to Andrew Witherspoon. He's the director of the Chicago Furniture Bank. It's a great idea. These three students from Penn have come up with a not-for-profit that are really helping people in need. And maybe you can help them, too. Either way, I think you'll be interested in their story, and we will talk to them coming after the break. They went to Penn. They certainly got a great education, were likely lined up for some pretty nice jobs, and instead they took a non-for-profit route. Speaking of college education and nice jobs, CareerBuilder.com is out with a study now of what jobs, what careers are growing fastest when it comes to demand and also salary. And Quentin Frottrell is writing about that at MarketWatch.com. He also broke it down by state. Quentin, welcome to the Biz Lunch.
Thank you.
It's pretty amazing to me that if you look state to state overall, it really comes down to three pretty specific jobs.
It took me by surprise, too. Software developers, physical therapists, physician assistants. These are jobs that are ranked by both their availability, whether they're in demand, and they are the highest paid jobs among the most in-demand jobs. So obviously in every state, you know, a brain surgeon or a lawyer will be paid more, but these are the jobs that are most in demand.
You know, way back in the 80s, a buddy of mine was a physical therapist from the Netherlands, and he had a job recruiting European PTs to come to the States because there was such a shortage. I thought we had sort of alleviated that, but it looks like it remains.
Yeah, I mean, physical therapists overall, according to the Bureau of Labor Statistics, they had a median pay of $87,930, but there's a projected increase in job availability of 28% between 2016 and 2026. So that's a pretty huge increase.
And the physician assistants, I kind of get that. So you're more than, I don't want to say more, you do more things than a nurse does, fewer things perhaps than a doctor, but the number of doctor visits is dropping and physician assistant visits are going up.
Exactly. I think it's because it's just very difficult for doctors to pay the rent and, you know, make a living independently more and more, and they have a lot of student debt are going in-house. So they either have, those that remain, either have these, you know, these practices you've probably experienced where there could be five or six or more physician assistants on the place runs like a Swiss watch, and then the doctor comes in, you know, the last 5 minutes.
Right.
Or they're part of an urgent care center.
Well, and so the numbers are growing there, and the median salary, $108,000, so not too shabby once you get there.
Pretty good. 37% growth in the same period, 2016 to 2026.
That's the number one job when it comes to growth in Illinois. You broke down in this chart, physician assistant.
Yes.
I love looking. So then if I look at this chart, and it's at MarketWatch.com, you can see that you do see physician assistant, physical therapist, software developer over and over and over again. I'm interested in some of the states where you don't, and what could be behind that. For example, Maryland, the job there that is growing the fastest is flight attendants. Any idea? You know why that would be?
Well, my only guess would be that that it must have some kind of hubs there that airlines have their bases at. It must be one of the regional hubs.
Right, I guess.
That's my guess. I don't know that for sure, but that would be my educated guess on why that might be. But you're right. There are some interesting wrinkles in the, Oklahoma, rotary drill operators. Probably not such a surprise in Oklahoma.
But it would be a surprise in any of the other states, I think. But the rotary drill operators.
It certainly would.
Huge demand.
In New York, it would be very surprising.
In Alaska, registered nurses, again, makes sense because you've got a lot of territory there, and probably nurses stretch pretty thin.
Right. So they need nurses up there in Alaska. Absolutely right. 16% change projected between 2018 and 2023, according to Career Builder.
All right. We're talking to Quentin Frottrell, he also writes the Moneyist column at MarketWatch, which I love.
Thank you for the shout-outs. I appreciate it.
It's so many fun questions there. For example, there's one up, I think it was today or this week, about a guy whose father refuses to wear his oxygen mask, and he's worried that his stepmother's going to inherit all the property. You must learn a lot about us Americans by writing that column.
I do. I have to say, I think people are probably the second from Dublin, but I think people are probably the same all over the world for the most part. But yeah, I mean, I get some really crazy questions and some very moving ones. I had one the other day. It was a man who's 34 and he has a neurological degenerative condition.
Oh, yeah.
And he wants to renovate his kitchen, and he lives in the Seattle area, and they're expensive to do there. He's like, so wants to do it for $50,000. His wife doesn't want to do it.
I'm going to interrupt you because you didn't. He's got a debilitating condition, but he's going to die, right? He's going to die in 1 to 5 years.
Five to ten. So, yeah, that's a good point to include. So it was a really moving story. And actually, you know, he wrote back. He wrote back to say thank you. And it's, you know, as an advice columnist, it's always nice to be reminded that there are, you know, people behind the emails at real lives who were listening to your advice. So it reminds me to be careful and to be as responsible as I can when I'm giving it.
Well, listen, I'm glad you joined us today. I have to have you back sometime and we'll talk about the moneyist and what's there.
I would love to ask. Thank you so much.
I'll be in Dublin in 3 weeks. Any spot I should visit?
Yeah, go to the Stag's Head. It's a great pub. I spent my youth there. And I was featured in a movie, Educating Rita.
Okay, I'll look at it.
Michael Caine.
Thank you very much.
Michael Caine movie.
We'll talk again soon.
Okay.
You're listening to the Wintrust Business Lunch here on 720 WGN, sponsored by Wintrust Chicago's Bank. Steve Bertrand in the Skyline Studio, high above the Chicago River on this beautiful late summer afternoon. On a phone line now is Andrew Witherspoon. He's the director of the Chicago Furniture Bank and a third of the brain power, as I understand it, behind the organization. Andrew, welcome to the Biz Lunch.
Hey, thank you. It's a pleasure being here.
All right, so I'm really impressed with your story, and I'll try to walk everyone through it as best I can. But three of you, friends at the University of Pennsylvania, are looking to compete. You know, we talk here about the Northwestern or the U of C incubator contest that they have. There's one at Penn, and you guys wanted to compete for it, and you came up with this not-for-profit to provide furniture to the underprivileged, correct?
Yeah, exactly. You know, as college students, we know that, you know, every year we're moving dorms or moving apartments, and you always just see that scramble of people putting things out on the curb that are still practical and can be used by someone else.
And
so with that, and then also, you know, those couches that are plaid or floral that our grandparents had we don't necessarily want are still good. So, you know, our thought was all of these couches and tables and things that would be thrown out can definitely have a second home and help someone in under-resourced.
I want to get to that plaid couch in just a minute. But so you develop the idea, you win the prize at Penn, and then are you all from the Chicago area, or why is it that you came here to set it up?
I'm not specifically from the Chicago area. I'm from St. Louis, so still the Midwest. But my partner, Griffin Amder, he is born and raised in Chicago.
Okay, I got you. And so you come here... And you set it up. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. And James McPhail?
Yes, and James McPhail. He's from New York.
Okay. Griffin won and got you guys to come here.
Yeah, it was that. And then also there is a furniture bank in St. Louis, but it was really just in terms of the size of Chicago, how great a city it is, and how many people are located in the inner city who just, you know, need access to affordable quality furniture.
All right, so tell me how it works, Andrew, because not everyone can come in, right? There are specific people who are eligible to take advantage of this program.
Yeah, exactly. So we're by appointment only. We offer 10 appointments a day, and we work with over 230 social service agencies who primarily work in transitional housing as well as health care and permanent supportive housing. And so as they become aware of participants' needs, oftentimes, you know, they play a crucial role in navigating individuals through the whole housing system to get them the keys. After they get the keys to their new apartment, they're then able to come into our showroom and pick out a whole home worth of furniture.
Well, so that's the thing. It's you get the keys to an apartment, which is a great struggle and a great achievement to reach that point. But then you open that door and the apartment's empty. And if you can barely afford the apartment, you're not going to be able to afford the bed, not to mention the plaid couch.
Exactly. Because unfortunately, you know, furniture is just one of those things that makes, you know, a home a home. There's very little difference between, you know, sleeping, you know, sleeping on the street or sleeping on the hardwood floor in a completely right. empty apartment. And, you know, talking with many of our partner agencies, you know, they, through their histories, have seen many, many, many clients who would actually not make rent payments in order to buy a couch and buy a bed.
Okay, so the deal is they get the reference, they make an appointment with you, one of 10 a day, and then for $50, they walk into a warehouse filled with furniture. I just can't imagine that it's not magical when that happens. Tell me what comes next.
So they get to pick it all out. I mean all. So that the average package, you know, beds for everyone, couch, armchair, dressers, coffee table, end tables, as much artwork as their walls can physically hold, kitchen table, of course, chairs, and a complete kitchenware set. So not only dishes and glasses, but also pots and pans, cooking utensils, eating utensils, baking items that I have no idea how to use. We have, as well as, you know, Tupperware and things like that.
And they walk through with pieces of tape with their name on it, put the pieces of tape on the couch that they want or the piece of art that they want, and then you deliver it?
Exactly. So, yeah, each client will get a specific roll of tape, color tape that's theirs. So the most important thing is our team will know exactly everything that they pick out. So we can deliver everything, because it would be a shame if, you know, if we left something in the showroom.
Now tell me about your own reaction to this, because I was watching a video of the whole thing and was tearing up just watching the video. I can't imagine being part of it and the wonderful feelings that you must get out of it.
It is a tremendous, you know, impactful service that we provide, and it impacts me every day. One of the things that you wouldn't necessarily assume is the things that just happen to have the greatest impact in terms of bringing the emotions out are the smaller things, are the pieces of art and the kitchenware especially. Because as they go through this package, you know, many of the participants and clients that we see have really just lost faith in the system, right. have been lied to. And so, you know, it's a big promise saying we're going to furnish the full home. But, you know, as they, you know, spend more and more time, pick out more and more things, it really starts to hit home for them. I'm getting emotional just talking about it. But it just really hits home to them as they're packing up their own dishes and leaving with it, you know, the outpour of emotion. You know, there are always a lot of hugs and happy tears. But it's just those small things that really, in their mind, really confirm to them that, you know, today, if it's not today or, you know, tomorrow morning, this team is going to show up with my whole home worth of furniture and move it in for me.
Okay, let's go back now to that plaid couch, because there's something that you say in your material that really resonated with me. You don't want garbage. These people are being treated. This is a dignified process. The people who need this are people with great dignity. You treat them that way. And so if people want to donate, that's welcome, but you're not going to take anything.
Yes, exactly. We do not want trash. To put it simple, our pickup policy, we accept donation requests, but we refuse the right to any trash. Our policy is anything that we wouldn't personally have in our own homes, we will not try to give to our clients. It's a complete dignified experience. We try to give them the attention, the quality, that they would receive in any standard retail store.
Andrew, you went to Penn, man. You guys could be earning big bucks right now.
Hey, I, you know, a lot of our friends are bankers and on Wall Street, and I just like to say, Steve, you know, we're still bankers. We might be furniture bankers, but we're still bankers.
Well, you're the good kind of banker, and I'm glad you're doing it, Andrew. How do people find out more information about it?
Yes, of course. I do implore everyone that wants to find out more, please go online to our website. It's www.chicagofurniturebank.org. You'll find all of our contact information in terms of getting active and volunteering. We would love to have you, and as well as type donating both financially, which we hope to do, but also quality furniture as well. It's all through our website, www.chicagofurniturebank.org.
Andrew Witherspoon, I'm glad I had a chance to talk to you today. We'll check in again, okay?
All right. Thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure. Have a great day.
It's the Wintrust Business Lunch on 720 WGN.
Start the timer because here's the Wintrust Business Minute, sharing and examining Chicago business news of the day. I love my commute to work each day. I get the blood pumping by jumping on my bike. The wind's blowing fresh air through my hair. It's a great way to start my day. But if you're in a car, the story is a bit different. It can be stressful, slow, hot, and chances are you're starting your day off in a less than ideal mood. The Texas A&M Transportation Institute found that Chicagoans spent 73 hours in traffic last year. In 1982, we only spent 31 hours in traffic. A bit of a jump. There are a ton of cars on the road right now, and these ride-sharing services like Uber and Lyft aren't quite making the impact they set out to make. So the next time you're in the car on your way to work, try and find some peace. And what's also peaceful and stress-free is retail therapy. How about you do some shopping instead and make moolah? Mavely is a direct-to-consumer shopping app that helps you make money by giving you cash back when you invite friends to shop on the app. They're still in the beta phase to work out some kinks, but they recently raised $1 million, so they're working on some big stuff. Ugh, man, that was so tough. I need a new pair of shoes. It'll help. I'm Bennett Wakenight, and that's your Wintrust Business Minute.
All right, thank you very much, Orion Samuelson. Steve Bertrand here. You're listening to the Wintrust Business Lunch on 720 WGN, sponsored by Wintrust Chicago's Bank. Putting the final touches, last night I kind of approved the final itinerary for our first trip of next year, Steve Bertrand Travel with WGN Radio. We're going to go to Madrid and Paris. We're going to stop in San Sebastian and Bordeaux in between. It's killing Amy Guth. I've been wanting to do this trip. Really, I have for a few years just to
that
sort
sounds
of
amazing.
Eat my way from Madrid to, and then Bordeaux, we'll do wine touring, we'll do some oyster bed information, things like that, then take the fast train to Paris for a couple of days.
That sounds amazing.
But we know some of the details. It's not complete yet, but it's going to be May 1st, and it's $4,800 a person. We moved it up a little bit earlier to bring the price down a little bit, but 10 days in, you start in Madrid, two nights in Madrid, San Sebastian, Bordeaux, and then Paris. If you want more information, send me an email, steve@stevebertrandtravel.com, and I'll give you a little heads up before we send it out to everyone else. But I should have it all finalized later this week. You can come.
I would love to. Can I pay you in $4,800 of office supplies and pens here at WGN Radio?
How about parking spots? Pay me in parking spots.
If I was Spot Hero, I certainly could.
Amy is the host of The Daily Gist, the podcast from Crane Chicago Business, and Spot Hero is rolling in the dough.
Yeah, so they have landed $50 million in funding, which is their largest round of funding yet. But what's noteworthy about that, it's also one of the largest rounds of venture capital funding for a local company this year.
No kidding.
That's kind of an exciting, you know, spotlight on Chicago for a minute.
And so what, I mean, I thought they were kind of up and running into, what are they using the money for?
Yeah, it surprised me too. I thought, gosh, they're everywhere. You see Spot Hero stuff everywhere. You wouldn't think they would even be looking for any more capital. So in a statement, they said they're going to accelerate marketplace growth, which could mean so many, that's like natural flavorings on a label. Like that could mean so many things. Expand the digital platform for the parking industry, strengthen partnerships, and deepen their technology stack. But it seems like what they're really looking at the most, because they've been pursuing a lot of interesting partnerships with like Waze and things like that. So it seems like they're betting on being part of the in-car, you know, offerings.
Oh, I see, right.
So that's what it seems like.
So they're ready to go. They're incorporated with all the other sort of technology and just be a natural expansion.
Right. I mean, which I guess makes sense. You know, you have Waze and things like, and Google Maps and a lot of cars now just ready to go as soon as you get the car. So, I mean, that makes sense. You got to park the car somewhere too. And they've got, you know, I didn't realize they had this many, you know, spots in their portfolio. They say that they have nearly 7,000 parking lots, garages, and other facilities.
Wow.
Pretty big. So they're the largest in North America.
All right. That's coming up on The Daily Gist a little bit later this afternoon, and a lot more really super interesting stuff like they always do.
That's right. Always.
You can get it every afternoon, or you, if you were smart, you would subscribe, I would imagine.
That's
right?
That's the easiest way to do it. Then it comes to you.
Do it right now. Thanks for coming by.
Thanks so much.